The Darkness Within by Graham Hampton and read by Julie Maisie for Saga Egmont. Prologue. I'm not sure if it's him at first. He looks older, his hair is greyer and his skin is looser. But when I get close enough, I know it's him. And then it kicks in. The hatred. Even after all this time, it hurts to look at him. Seeing the man who destroyed my life walking down a suburban street without a care, as though what happened to me never mattered. My heart races. I should let it go, but I can't. Something inside me stirs. I can feel the hatred clawing at my chest and burning my stomach, and I clench my fist in my jacket pocket. He heads down a side street. I cross the road and follow him, keeping my distance, not wanting him to see me, but curious too as to what would happen if he did. Then I hurry my step and quickly make a plan in my head. I'll walk past him, perhaps accidentally barge into him and mutter an apology as I pass. I'm not ready for a full-on confrontation, not yet. But he turns round, unexpectedly. For a brief second, our eyes meet. Is there a flicker of recognition there? If so, what does he feel? Guilt? Regret? Fear? He opens his mouth to speak. Then the red mist descends and everything goes blank. Chapter 1. It was the smell that hit him first. The stale, rancid stench of something sour yet sickly sweet greeted him before he'd even walked through the front door of the dingy flat. The flat was on the second floor of a grim concrete block in the middle of Hackney's notorious Bedgebrook estate. Over the years, the estate had earned itself a reputation for drugs and violence, most of which was gang-related and near impossible to police. Uniformed officers used to patrol its maze-like streets in pairs. Then the cuts began to bite, and they stopped patrolling them altogether. There had been plans to regenerate the estate after the 2012 Olympics, but either the money or the enthusiasm had run out long before the work had ever started. He was standing in the pokey living room at the back of the flat. It overlooked an abandoned play park, complete with broken swings and broken glass. Beyond the play park, the London Overground stretched between Dalston and Stratford in a near straight line. The room stank of despair, as well as rotting flesh. The only furniture was an old brown sofa, a second-hand sideboard, and a table in the corner with a bulky television on top. And a battered leather armchair beside the window, in which was slumped the body of an elderly man, an ugly gash running across his throat like a serrated smile. Detective Inspector Matt Denning had seen his share of murder victims over the years, but each one still hit him like a smack in the face. It was the pointlessness of it that bothered him, the futile waste of a life for reasons that were usually fairly prosaic. The room was busy with white-suited scene-of-crime officers, but no one had looked up when Denning entered. He was on the point of announcing his presence when he spotted DS Deepak Niraj standing in a corner speaking to one of the SOCOs. Niraj was in his mid-30s, the same age as Denning, and dressed in his trademark leather jacket, his jet-black hair gelled into a trendy style. He jerked his chin at Denning by way of a greeting. "Morning, boss. Pretty grim, huh?" Denning nodded his acknowledgement and walked over to get a closer look at the body. He'd already put on a pair of paper booties and had slipped on some slim-fitting blue nitrile gloves. He hated wearing the gloves, as they always made his hands feel clammy. The victim was in his late 70s and painfully thin, almost emaciated. Matted strands of grey hair were smeared across his scalp, almost as though his hair had been painted on as an afterthought. His left arm dangled in mid-air, the skin loose on the hand like a glove that was about to suddenly slough off. The deep gash across his throat was flecked with speckles of dried blood. More blood had stained the front of his grubby shirt, turning it